Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2019 Youth Education Conference, held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
My name is Kari Brimhall, and this is You Can Do Hard Things. So I am really excited to teach this class. And as I was talking to a friend of mine, I was like, oh my goodness, maybe my title is a little scary. Who wants to learn about doing hard things? But we want to do hard things. So let's talk about some really cool things. On page 36, open up your books right now. Pull out a pen and open up to page 36 because we've got work to do. On page 36, you're going to see there's a chart that looks just like this one, except mine's in green. Okay, I want you to think about, in your head, this is today's math, how old are you today? 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, write that right here, because today it's 2019. Write down your age right now. Unless your birthday's tomorrow, then you can write. Does anyone have a birthday tomorrow?
No.
No. All right.
That'll be rare.
So, 2019, write down how old you are.
What if you're turning a certain age?
Doesn't matter. Just for right now, doesn't matter. Now, for today's math, in the year 2020, how old will you be?
Today.
Next year, right now.
One more year.
Oh, I see a pattern. So right, if you were 12 in 2019, you're going to be 13 next year. 14, 15, okay, you get it? Write your age here and add one to each of those years. And go all the way to 2029. It's pretty advanced, pretty hard math.
This is so hard.
I know. Somebody's got to do it though. Now, what big events are going to happen? First of all, how old, girl in red right here, how old are you going to be in the year 2029?
27.
That's old.
Me too.
2027. Andrew, how old are you going to be in 2029?
22.
That seems like a really far way. How old will you be?
25.
Okay. Jenna in the back, how old will you be?
28.
Oh my goodness. That's old. Okay. How about, let's just look at the next 5 years. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's go 2023. How old are you going to be in 2023? Girl in the yellow shirt right here. 20. What happens when you're 20? What will you have done in your life by the time you're 20? Okay, mission. Do you do anything big before going on a mission?
Your college.
Okay, some people go to college.
Graduate high school.
Graduate high school. Who here in here has a lanyard that says class of 2019? Raise your hand, seniors. Woo, woo, woo. Okay, that's a big one, graduating from high school and graduating here at LDSHE. That's awesome. Okay, some pretty big things happen. Okay, so we're looking at the year 2023. Is anyone going to be 16 years old? What happens when you're 16-ish?
You can drive
in most states, okay?
Not steadily.
Okay, you can do group dating when you're 16.
Yes.
Emma?
Fun fact, you can actually drive before you turn 16 if it's on your own property.
Oh, okay, good to know. If you have lots of property and can drive. Okay, how many are going to be, let's look at the year 2023. How many here are going to be 23 years old?
In what?
In this year, 2023, how many, who's going to be 23? Anybody? Because when I was I was 23 when I got married. And I was 23 when I graduated college. Or maybe I was 24. Doesn't matter. Down there. So look at your life. Now, underneath that, there's a place where it says, what big events are coming up? Right now, I want you to write three things that's going to happen before 2029.
I already did.
Then you're a step ahead. So hold your horses. Before 2029. How old are you going to be, Andrew? You'll be 22. What big events are going to happen before then?
I'm going to drive and graduate high school. I'm going to start dating.
Okay, those are big things. College. A lot of people in here will be missionaries. Now, after you write down at least three things, you can write more if you want. I want you to put a star by one of those things that kind of makes you a little bit nervous. Okay, I heard definitely dating. That can make you nervous. Kids. Some of you might be old enough to have kids. Melody, how old are you going to be in 2029? Yes. 26. I had my first baby at 26. You could be a mom. Whoa. And that's just here. So, there are some great things ahead for you. You're going to do some pretty big things in your life. You just wrote down some of the big things that are going to happen to you. And sometimes when you look at big things, sometimes those things can be hard things, or they can also be really fun things. Up here on the board, from Elder Miller, I live down in Virginia Beach. I'm only an hour away, an hour south of here. And anyway, every time we have the missionaries come over, I love to talk to them. I love to find out stuff that's going on. And I asked Elder Miller, I said, what's different about your mission? Is there anything unexpected that you have done here, on your mission? And he said, I never knew how much fun a mission was going to be. And I said, what do you mean? And he says, I have five older brothers. They've all been on missions. They all told me how hard it was, and it was hard, and you had to learn a new language, and you had to study, and you had to do all this stuff. He said, no one told me it was going to be so much fun. He said, I've met my best friends out here. I've met cool families out here. I've traveled. I've got to see different places. Anyway, he said, it's so much fun. He said, there's plenty of hard work. Don't get me wrong. Missions are hard, but they're a blast. And I thought, wow. And Elder Miller, he was one of our best missionaries, always had a huge smile on his face. So future missionaries, put a smile on your face and make it the best time of your life. All right, we did something as a family that was big, and it was something we really wanted to do. My husband speaks Spanish and German. He lived in Chile when he was young, and then he went on a mission to Switzerland. So we learned German and he already knew Spanish. Well, we decided we want our kids to speak a foreign language. And I said, honey, this will be great. When we get married, we have kids, we can teach them. You can teach Spanish, you can teach them German, and I'll teach them English. That'll be awesome. And he said, no way. He said, the only way to learn a language is to move to that country and be surrounded by it. And I was like, awesome, we're going to travel. We're going to live in a foreign country. Well, we didn't really think that was really going to happen, but it did. And when our kids were little, so these are my kids right here, and we have one more. We moved to Mexico City, Mexico, and this was a big thing. And it turned out to be a really hard thing, too. I don't speak Spanish, but I had to drive around. I had to get my kids to and from school. I had, because we didn't homeschool at the time, and it was hard. I got in two accidents, and I didn't speak Spanish. I had to talk to the police. That was cute and awful. I had to go to church all in Spanish, and you can totally feel the Spanish, even if you don't understand what they're saying. But it was hard, and it was scary, but it was good. So here we are. This is in Mexico City, and this is the Zocalo. This is the sinking church. The church is kind of sinking on one side. This is at Teotihuacan, and this is a pyramid in the background, and we're standing on top of a pyramid. So sometimes big things in your life, big events, they're going to be awesome, but they can also be hard. Now, each of you, the one thing or two that you start up here, something that you're nervous about, that the Lord's going to prepare you. He's not just going to throw you into the fire and say, "Hope, good luck. Good luck on a mission. You've been called. Just drive to that place." No, the Lord prepares you. So if you're going to go on a mission, where do you go first? The MTC, the Missionary Training Center. Okay? The Lord's going to prepare you for your amazing life. He's given you gifts and talents. That's the first one. And you are unique. There's no one else who has had your experiences, relationships, knowledge, and personality, and where you are right now. He needs you. He needs each of us to be the people that he planned on having us be. We need to use our gifts and our talents to do that. Winston Churchill, great quote, "To each there comes in their lifetime a special moment when they are figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a very special thing, unique to them and fitted to their talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds them unprepared or unqualified for that which could have been their finest hour." Oh, you do not want to be in a position where you are offered an opportunity of a lifetime and you can't take it because you're not ready. So how do we get ready? Well, now, right here, draw a circle. That's your comfort zone. Then draw a bigger circle, and this one is your learning and growth zone. Then the last outside one is the panic zone. You do not want to live your life there. That's not a very fun place. Okay, your comfort zone. This is where you're comfortable. Ah, this might be a little place on the couch where you can sit down, put your feet up, watch a movie. You're really comfortable right there. You're not really learning much. You're not really doing much. You're not having any exciting adventures. But you're not getting hurt. You're not doing anything that takes a lot of energy. You're just kind of sitting around,
doing nothing.
You're not too excited about anything. But then one day, your mom comes into the room. And she says, "Guess what? I've signed you up for a class." "No, Mom!" And then you're like, "Well, what kind of class? What kind of adventure is going to get me off the couch or off my very, I have my own little group of friends. I'm all happy. I'm just right here. It's all my little friends. And we're not going to let anybody in, and we're not going to step anybody out. We're just right here doing the same stuff, being really boring. But your mom says, no, I signed you up for a class. Or would you like to take a class? Or maybe you see somebody else doing something really cool and you're like, whoa, for young women's, we went rock climbing. Now I want to go rock climbing. I'm going to try that again. And your mom says, okay, let's try it again. Let's go for family home evening. Let's try that. Okay. How many here have taken a class outside of your normal co-op, your homeschool co-op or your homeschool, whatever? So out here, how many here have taken a class? Okay, girl in the black shirt, what class have you taken? Or what have you done?
I took a writing class.
A writing class, nice. Boy in the back. An online art course. Ooh, that's fun. Over here. Yes.
Oh, organ and piano.
Ooh, organ and piano. Okay. What else? What? Yes, a class with me counts. We've done art. We've done writing, haven't we?
A theater class.
A what?
Theater.
Oh, I thought you said gator, like alligator. I'm like, wow, you're really out there. All right. One more, right there, girl in the red.
Violin.
Okay, so each one of these that we just talked, that you mentioned, these are things that were maybe not in your comfort zone. Or maybe in your comfort zone, maybe you have been playing violin, but nothing really hard. And then your violin teacher says, guess what? I want you to play in a recital. I want you to try something big. I want you to try a harder piece. Ooh. Do you see how you have to push your way out of the comfort zone? Because this can be kind of scary. Not as scary as the panic zone. That's like heart attack or dangerous. But right here, this is where you're learning and you're growing and you're stretching. And usually you have a teacher or someone that will help pull you along or push you. Usually your mom is behind you pushing you to do that. Okay? I love this little sign down at the bottom. This is a no parking zone in the comfort zone. So we always want to be learning. We always want to be growing because guess what? Once you get pretty good out here, your comfort zone grows. And that's what you want. You want that comfort zone to keep getting bigger and bigger by the things that you're learning and the things that you're growing and doing. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. And that's where you want to be, even though it can be hard, even though it can be tough, even though you might not do your best. Maybe you're going to fail. And that's no fun. But you're trying. And you're going to get up with your scratched knees and your bruised hands. And you're going to try again. I have a little friend. His name's Griffin. This is not a picture of him. I didn't have a picture, but this was a cute one on Google. So here's my little friend Griffin. And he's 4. And the other day I went to his house. His mom teaches me Spanish, so I am taking Spanish. So the whole time we lived in Mexico, I could say a few things. And by the time we moved, we were there 8 months. By the time we moved, I could go to the grocery store and I could talk to people about food. And I could buy flowers. That was a huge accomplishment for me. I could talk to some people. I worked in the primary. We met in the ward, and it was all Spanish, and I was in the primary, and anyway, I could almost talk to the 4-year-olds or 5-year-olds, and anyway, but here's my cute friend, and he, so his mom teaches Spanish, so I went over to his house, and he met me at the door, and he said, oh, Miss Carrie, I can ride a bike. I can ride a bike. I'll show you how right now. And I was like, okay, come on. And he ran down and he got his little bike and he showed me how he could ride. Well, he was in that comfort zone, but then he saw others riding their bikes. And he was like, I totally want to do that. And he would stand, and he has five older brothers and sisters, and he would stand on the lawn and he'd watch them ride their bikes. And he would just stand there. And finally one day he said, I want to ride my bike. I want to do that. I want to try to ride my bike. Well, they gave him a little bike, and he lives in a cul-de-sac, so it was a kind of a safe place. And he felt safe. He felt confident. Like, I think I can learn how to do this. I think I can learn how to ride a bike. But he was nervous. But he got on his bike. He was like, you know what? I'm really nervous, but I really want to ride my bike. So he got on his bike, and it was a little bike. Not a big one. It was a little one where he could put his feet down. You know how when you get on a bike? Yeah. And you put your feet down and you're just standing, you're just sitting there, but your feet are touching the ground. He felt safe. He was like, okay, if nothing else, I can walk. And that's what he did first. He learned how to walk. How many here remember learning how to ride a bike? Okay, should all be coming back. And he put his feet down and he tried it and he crashed the first time. We all crashed the first time. But then he got up and he was all scratched up and went in and cried to his mom and she patched him up. And he put his feet down and he tried again. His whole family was cheering him on. And you know how you get that feeling like, whoa, whoa, I'm balancing. This is good. And he did it. And he wrote and he practiced. And by the time I got there and he showed me how, oh, it was like angels. You know, like a heavenly light come down and he was riding his bike and he could almost wave because he was so excited. This is what it's like to get out of your comfort zone. Now, he knows how to ride his bike. And he can ride in the cul-de-sac, and he can do that pretty good, and he can come up the driveway, turn around, and go down the driveway. This is huge. All right, so this is where you are, right here. Tonight's the pirate dance. Everyone got pirate stuff? Yo-ho, yo-ho, okay. So, right here, maybe in your head, you're like, okay, I got my life planned out. Here I am at LDSHE this week, and I'm going to come again next year and the next year, and then I'm going to graduate, and then I'm going to go to college, and then I'm going to go on a mission, and then I'm going to find Mr. Wright or Miss Wright, whoever you are, and then I'm going to get married. I've got my whole life planned out from here to here, and I'll come around here like this.
Yeah, you're ups and downs.
And then treasure, I got that. This is going to be awesome. Great times ahead. Well, sometimes when you have your master plan, sometimes the Lord throws in a curve. Sometimes that curve looks like this. Whoa, just one curve over here. Sometimes it looks like that in the middle, where it's all wavy. Sometimes it even looks like this. Woo! I have never seen that one, but I thought, whoa, that's a pretty good sign. Sometimes life and your plan, sometimes life gets hard. So we need to take the things that we've learned and the talents the Lord's given us. And sometimes we're stretching and we're getting out of that comfort zone, but sometimes life gets hard. Well, if life isn't hard for you right now, some of you, I guarantee it'll get hard. Some of you might already be in the life, the hard times club. How many here are in the hard times club? You're having a little hard time sometimes? Okay. Guess what? You're in good company if you're already in the hard times club. Who's in there? Lehi, Saraya, Nephi, Alma, Abinadi, Joseph Smith, and there's many more. You might even have family members that are already in this club that are having a hard time. Something's happened. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe someone close to them has died. Sometimes people are just mean. Sometimes you don't make the team. You don't make the cut. You didn't get the part in the play. You didn't make the choir. And if you're a homeschooler and didn't do that, then you start your own. That's how you solve that small problem. Great, we'll have our own choir. We'll make our own choir. If I can't make that choir, I'll start my own. If you're in this club, that means the Lord trusts you to grow. The Lord needs strong people. He needs you to be strong. He needs you to be able to use the talents and abilities that He's given you. Okay, so how do you do it? What happens when hard times come? Because they will. Well, there's four things. Number one, find a friend. Number two, fortify your faith. Three, stand up and stand out. The first one is find a friend. I want you, and there's a little space right there, and between phone a friend and all of those, and above action, I want you to write down two people that you count as a friend. That if you're having a hard time, you're having a bad day, who can you call or go talk to? I want you to write down two names right now. Parents count. Could be your mom, could be your dad, could be your grandma, a friend, could be someone like your youth leaders, your young women's leaders, your young men's, Sunday school teacher, a seminary teacher. How many here take seminary? Raise your hand. Yes. Awesome. Seminary. I taught seminary. For a long time, 6 years.
My dad's a seminary teacher.
Oh, lucky guy. Okay, so who did you write down? Call out some names.
God and Jesus.
Okay, God and Jesus. I don't have their phone number, but I know how to reach them. Okay, tell me one name.
Zach Walsman.
Oh, awesome, right there. Who else, somebody on this side? Just call it out. Your mom. Sister? Sister? Got a whole row of sisters there. Thomas? Okay, awesome. So you've got people, and if you don't have two names written down, it's time to make some new friends. And, okay, action. Here's your action. You've just did this. Make a list of people you trust. You can keep adding to this list. Right now, you need to make a friend at conference. Now, all right, some of you have already come with a friend or come with a relative. My daughter, when the conference started a long time ago, 14, 15 years ago, my daughter was 12. She just barely made the cutoff and came, and she was 12. And she sat next to another girl that was 12. They were the only 12-year-olds in the whole conference. There were only 25 kids. That's probably that side of the... It's not even, that's too many. There were only 25 kids that came to that conference. And she and Mary were both 12, both blonde, and both super short. And they sat next to each other because they were the only little tiny people. And at that conference, they became really good friends. They became such good friends that every year for the next 6 years while we came to conference, they saw each other. They got together. We went to go visit them. And we still kind of keep in touch. That's the kind of friend you need to make. And these are your people right here in this room. These are your people because they are LDS and they homeschool or they have high standards. This is a good group. So you probably know the person next to you, and if you don't, get to know them. But I want you to turn around and get to know the person behind you, and you need to, or in front of you. You need to know their name and remember what they look like. Go. Now, you just looked at the person behind you or in front of you, and you said hi, but you probably couldn't pick them out of a crowd. So I want you to turn around and look at them again, because you're going to have to find that person tonight at the dance. Okay, look at them. You don't have to dance with them. That's too scary. That's way out of your comfort zone. Okay? So, tonight at the dance, your first thing is to try to find that person that you just met. You don't have to dance with them. You don't have to marry them. You don't have to do anything. You just have to, like, high five, okay? You just do a high five, like, whoa, hey, now I have a new friend. The next thing you can do when hard times come is fortify your faith. That means strengthen your testimony. Oh, and those are the two things, write those down. Under where it says fortify your faith, those two things, God knows you and build your testimony. So I'm going to show you this picture and then I'm going to go back. Ah, okay, what were the two? All right, God knows you, build your testimony. Awesome. All right, so how big is your testimony umbrella?
Giant.
Okay? Some of you in here, your testimony can be like a little umbrella. And I forgot mine, it's in the car. Anyway, open it up, and each one, see how these are divided by color? Each one of those could represent something in the gospel. For example, this could be your testimony of Jesus Christ as your Savior. This could be a testimony of tithing. This could be a testimony of fasting. This one is a testimony of going to seminary. This one is a testimony of reading your scriptures. Do you see how each one of these colors represents a different color? This is like your testimony. And some of you right now have a testimony that looks like this, one of those little tiny umbrellas that you stick in a little drink. Some of our testimonies are this small, they're just little, because you're learning. But as you build your testimony, as your testimony grows, pretty soon you're going to have this big beach umbrella of a testimony. Your testimony takes effort, and that's getting out of your comfort zone. That's getting out of primary. That's saying, wow, not every answer is prayer and read your scriptures and go to the temple. That's primary. That's awesome. That's a great foundation. Now you're at the next level. If you're 11 and older, you're at the next level. It's time to grow your testimony. And if you're in here and you haven't done that, you're just like, well, someday they're going to hand it out with the brownies at the end of young men's or young women's activity. They're not. Hate to break the news. They're not going to hand those out. Testimony is you. So do hard things and start building your testimony. The first great commandment of all eternity is to love God with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength. But the first great truth of the gospel of all eternity is that God loves us with all of his heart, might, mind, and strength. Your Heavenly Father, we sing it. I am a child of God. We know it. But now it's time to feel it. Now it's time to get that testimony in your heart. Okay, stand up. This is my son Jefferson. And this is Caroline. This is the 2014 group of LDSHE graduates. We were at the beach. Yes, some of you have a family member. Thank you. have a family member whose picture is in this, okay? You might have a brother or sister who graduated that year. Anyway, this is my son, JJ, and Caroline, his very good friend. Well, sometimes we have to stand up when hard times come. JJ and Caroline graduated at LDSHE. They both were here for 2 years. Then they both went to college. Then they both went on missions. JJ went to the Philippines, Caroline went to California. They came back, they dated, and now they're married. Yay! Oh, sweet, happily ever after, right?
Not quite.
Not quite. You know what? So they got married last July. They haven't even been married a year. At Christmas time, we got together and we went to Florida and we were having a great time. And Caroline wasn't feeling so good. And she said, you know what? My fingers are all tingly and my feet, they're kind of numb. By the end of our vacation, guess what? She couldn't hardly feel her fingers. Well, they got on that airplane, they went back to school, they were at BYU, Idaho, and 2 weeks later, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And it's tough, but with medicine, it's doable. But it's a life, you're gonna have that the rest of your life. Hard times, tough times? No, what happened to happily ever after? Yeah, hard times. Guess what? Caroline found a friend. Found her best friend, in fact. Fortified her faith. She'd been on a mission. Wait a minute, this bad things don't happen to good people. Oh yeah, they do. That's what makes them better.
Egypt Joseph?
There's lots of examples, aren't there, in the scriptures. Well, Caroline, they had to put a hold on school. Now they're back where she can get great medical care, and their life has taken a turn, has taken a change. It happens, but they, with faith, and the faith of their families, and their friends, and lots of prayer and fasting, are getting the help that they need. Bring it on. If this life is a test to prove us worthy, and it is, if this life is an opportunity to show we can walk the covenant path, and it is, and if this life is the chance to show ourselves through our actions that we can choose our Heavenly Father's plan again, and it is, then we stand up and cheer in 2019 and say, bring it on. I want every opportunity to show my Lord and Savior that I will prove myself faithful. The action for this one is be strong, even when it's hard. Stand out. This is the last one. One of the coolest things we did when we lived in Mexico is we went and saw where the monarch butterflies migrate. They fly. How many have seen monarch butterflies? Everybody's seen a monarch? Yes, they are the coolest things. But they fly from Canada all the way down to Mexico. And there's this little tiny town where they congregate and they stay the winter. Well, right here, so these are my girls when they were little, when we lived there. They're older now. This right here, and you're like, why is this picture in here? What are these people doing? There were 150 people and they were all standing around. It was all roped off in this one area. We were all standing there. We got to the top and we're like, well, where are the orange butterflies? What's going on? If you look, you can't really see, but when monarchs, when they open their wings, they're bright orange on the outside. When they close them, they're a darker orange on the outside. Well, right here, these are all butterflies, and they're all clumped together. They're all holding on. They're all holding on to a friend. Well, I was standing there, and I saw this, here's this whole tree, and I saw this one branch, and I saw, you know, a bunch of little butterflies come and land on that branch. And as I was watching that butterfly, I mean that branch, those little butterflies kind of landed on it, and all of a sudden the whole branch fell. and then it fluttered away. It wasn't a branch at all. It was all these butterflies just holding on to the next guy. And they all just floated away. And I thought, that is amazing. Now, monarch butterflies that are born in the springtime are different than the butterflies. So the life cycle of the butterfly, we're not going to go over that. But during the summer, there are four or five generations of butterflies. And the butterflies that are born in the fall are different than the springtime ones. The ones that are born in the fall, their wings are different. They're stronger. They have a sense that they need to get out of town because cold weather's coming. They are sturdier than those wimpy springtime ones because they have to make the trip. You, like those butterflies, you were made for the trip. You are made to do hard things. You, the Lord has blessed you with amazing talents, with amazing abilities where you can do amazing and great things. Some of those things are going to be hard. Even though it's right and it's good, sometimes it's hard. And you just need to do those four things that were on our list. So live your best life and glorify God through your actions. You were made for this trip. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.